in the Old Testament, and I went to the New Testament, and I thought I was done, and then the Lord showed me, like, on Monday, no, we're going to revisit that, except for we're going to start with John 10, and then we're going to move back to Kings. So we're going to get a different angle on the same scripture this morning, and I believe it will help you. And it's simply about hearing God's voice. John 10 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." It says his sheep hear his voice. It's so important to hear God's voice. Sheep hear his voice. Have you ever heard God's voice? It's a good time to say, yes, I've heard it. Next question is, did you obey it? Have you ever seen somebody just lift their hand and walk out of the room like, just 1 minute, I'll be, yeah. He speaks. We listen, we hear, but do we obey? Hopefully the answer is yes, 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 and yes. Here's the thing. I'm just going to throw something out there. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear this. I think it's the Irish where a lot of their last names, you can tell an Irishman by their last name. It might be like O'Toole or O'Brady, right? It's like an O before it. There's also, is it the Irish or the Scottish? That a lot of their names are like McMurray and things like that. So, Scotch-Irish, thank you. So, spell McMurray. M-A-C-M-U-R-R-A-Y. What does that spell? Okay, what does this spell? M-A-C-I-N-T-O-S-H. Macintosh. Spell this. M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-D. Felt the spirit of Big Mac come in here. McDonald. Okay, one more. Spell this. M-A-C-H-I-N-E-S. I heard somebody say McHines. I heard it. I had you going. And I heard machine over here. M-A-C-H-I-N-E-S, machines. Do you think I'm a trusted voice? You can be fooled by a trusted voice. I was just trying to fool you just now. I was trying to get somebody to just boldly, like I beat them, McHines. I was trying. I was fishing, and I heard it. I don't know where. I heard it somewhere. I'm sure I heard it. It's a trick. God's voice doesn't trick you. And you've got to be able to hear God's voice, and then you need to be able to obey his voice. Faith cometh by, and hearing comes by the. So you've got to hear the word of God. And it activates your faith, and you grow from that. And it is a good thing, but you got to hear it first. Right? It's very important that you hear it first. Now, hearing can be something that has to be learned and helped. Right? Because the scripture said, my sheep hear my voice. Didn't it say that? It did not say, my lambs hear my voice. Lamb is just a young sheep. Lamb is a pre-sheep. Walker wanted to know what a preteen was. And I said, that might be you. But I said, technically, a newborn baby is a preteen too. And Christine's like, John, don't do that. It's like, no, they're a baby, then they're a toddler, and then there's something else, and then they're annoying. And isn't that horrible? I've raised three. They have their moments. Let's just say it like that. They have their moments. But a sheep is different from a lamb, only in age. So there are some things that before we become a sheep, we're lambs. What I'm just trying to say with that is sheep is a place of maturity more than lamb. And there's some hearing that God needs us to hear, and we might not get it for a while, but as we mature, we learn to hear His voice. We can even get to a point where we see things and we hear His voice through what we see. I remember as a child in the early 90s, or 70s. It's okay, it was in the 70s. But I remember my little Bible, they had these stickers that they were giving out at church, and it was a picture of a hand pointing up. And underneath it, it said, one way. And that stuck with me when I got old enough to drive a car and started reading the DMV manual that my dad made me read, and I had to take driver's ed. And I saw that sign, one way. But I didn't think of the traffic sign, one way. I thought of the Lord's voice, one way. And it stuck with me. I'm not talking about getting like super spiritual where you're no earthly good. But you'll start hearing His voice. Sometimes I see a stop sign from the Lord. Sometimes I see a caution light from the Lord. Sometimes I see the green light from the Lord. I'm just saying this, you can hear His voice in other things besides His voice. Last week I talked to you about Elijah, who heard the voice of Jezebel through a servant, and it said, and Elijah saw what she said. Right? You got to be careful who speaks into your life, because their words can paint a picture, and it can be a picture of promise, or it can be a picture of destruction. And everything that she said was not true at all. But it was so believable to Elijah because he was hearing the wrong voice. Now, this was a seasoned prophet of God who was coming down to the very end of his life, and the mantle of anointing that was on him was about to be handed off to Elisha. So if that man can be deceived by mere words, she was not even in the room. Jezebel was not even in the room. She did not even say it to him face to face. Don't tell me that words don't have power, because it shook him to the core. He had just finished this incredible miracle of God in a time of drought. It's very important that you see it was a time of drought. 3.5 years worth of drought. We had a drought here last year. It lasted about 6 months. And then it started raining and raining and raining, and we were okay. But we recovered quickly, didn't we? You ever seen some of the lakes in South Carolina whenever we have a little bit of a drought and all of a sudden the water drops real low and you'll see piers and docks and they're sitting on the bank, what has become a bank, the lake bottom, it's dry. As soon as the rain comes, it comes right back up where it used to be, right? And we forget all about the drought. But after 3.5 years, the drought would be a terrible thing. Elijah had just got through prophesying. He had just got through killing the prophets of Baal, making an open display of God's power, making an open display of the lack of their God's power, and praying for it to rain after he was the one that prayed that it wouldn't rain. That's power. And God used all of that to become the exclamation point on the miracle that he was about to perform. You remember that Elijah called down fire from heaven. We talked about that last week. And I want to read it to you, and I might, because it's so powerful, everything that happened. But when all of this happened, and they were in a drought situation, and they used water to put on a fire that was supposedly supposed to happen because a God was supposed to call down fire, and the God who answered by fire was the God that everybody was going to go with, and everybody heard the story, and they said, yeah, let's go. And Elijah took the water, poured it on, and filled four water pots full of water. Did it 3 times. That's 12 times. Dug a trench around it. I took the measurements on it. It says 2 seas. That equals 2 seas of water. Dug a trench that would hold 2 seas of water. That meant that was actually 3.86 gallons of water that was left over. So it'd be like taking one of those big blue water jugs back there, almost one of those. And after you've wasted seemingly 12 big jars of water in a time of drought, making sure it filled up so much that an extra 4 gallons was laying there. And after the miracle, God used Elisha. He didn't just call down fire from heaven. It said that the fire from heaven consumed the bull, the cow. It consumed the wood. It consumed the 12 stones that he had laid down for the 12 tribes of Israel. Consumed the rocks. And then it licked up the water. We'll go back to that in a second. Just so at the end of all that, God could say, oh yeah, tell them this, Elijah. Tell them that you hear the sound of water coming. You hear the sound of rain coming. And just like that, God stopped the drought. Sometimes your last measure of faith is the craziest thing that God requires from you before the miracle comes. I told you last week, I said you can bring your crazy to God, because we've all got some craziness somewhere, right? Some of them you're related to, that's your crazy. But we've all got our own personal crazy, right? Right. I heard somebody say this week, I saw that. Have y'all seen that little, I'm not good at technology and stuff like that. I think it's the meme of this blonde-headed lady and her friend beside her, and she's yelling something, and then this cat is over there responding to what. Who's seen it? If you see it, don't be embarrassed. Okay, so y'all know I'm talking to somebody. I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. But this time, the woman in this caption, the woman's saying, but I speak in tongues. And the cat says, but you gossip in English. Said, I think I've met her. I just didn't recognize her. So I say this, that I speak in tongues, and the cat needs to say, and you also drive in traffic. In other words, you speak other things too. Let me go back. That didn't get the response that I needed. So this is all about hearing the voice of the Lord. And I've laid some scriptural examples out for you. So I know this from experience, because our daughter Kinsey had to have speech therapy. From a child, she had speech therapy. We took her to this special place, and this lovely young lady whose name, I don't even know what her last name was, but she was Miss Angie. And Miss Angie would come and take Kinsey from us. And Kinsey, she had a hard time walking, because she didn't even start walking till 26 months. And Kinsey just was so feeble. Her little legs were so skinny. And this lady, Miss Angie, would come get her and take her back. And she would give Kinsey speech therapy. But I found out this, that my thought process was, speech therapy, the first thing they would do is maybe x-ray the mouth and x-ray the throat and inspect the mouth and the tongue and the teeth and see where everything lies and figure out if the problem is in the mouth, because the speech that came out was not just right. Have you know what I'm talking about? But this is what I found out. The first test that they gave her had nothing to do with her mouth. The first test they gave her was her hearing. And then I realized, I was talking about it this morning to my wife. I think it was this morning. I said, I know they gave Lincoln, our first and only grandchild, Lincoln, shortly after he was born, within the first couple of days, he went back in for a hearing test. A baby hearing test. But I remember this from 23 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 12 years ago, when my children were born, I remember they gave them a hearing test as babies. Did y'all realize that they do that? Amazes me. I don't even know how they get the response. I know this, though, that a baby comes into this world letting everybody know that he can make a noise. But shortly thereafter, they need to make sure that he can hear too. That's amazing to me. They give them a test to make sure that they can hear. So let's just put that into spiritual application. God's concerned with what you say, but he puts more emphasis on you hearing, because you're not going to say it right if you're not hearing it right. The importance of hearing the voice of the Lord. If you're living it right, if you're walking it right, it's because you heard it right. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear." I do have to at least touch back in 1 Kings. And I want to say this. It'd be easier for me just to read it. I'm going to go all the way back to chapter 18 and verse 17. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." See, what he was telling to him is that you can't forsake the commandments of the Lord unless you have first heard the commandments of the Lord. And he was called. Ahab called him. This is what he said. Is that you, O troubler of Israel? I love what Martin Luther King said. And I say that I quote him a lot on this. It's one of my favorite things to quote. Because people don't mind calling you something. Anybody ever been called a name? I was explaining to my son this week. We were watching a show. It's called Glory Road. I don't usually tell you stuff I watch. Because as soon as you tell people what they watch, they're looking at you like, you watch that? I had to have a long talk with my son. It's a 2-hour movie, and we haven't even got to the first hour, but we spent 2 hours getting almost through the first hour because I was telling him, son, you're 12 years old, you're growing up. You need to hear some of this stuff, and some of this stuff is going to be so offensive to your ears, and it makes me sick. But you got to understand that there's things that had to happen along the way to get to this. We had to get to this. We had to start here. Everybody wants the garden, but they don't want to put the stinky fertilizer out and walk through it. Martin Luther King said this. He said, is that you, O troubler of Israel? It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. I love that. And he just told him, I'm not the troubler, you are. Because you heard the commandments, but you haven't been doing them. Okay? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel. Verse 19. Now therefore, send and gather all of Israel, all the 450 prophets. And they did it. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. That could be said today. How long will you falter between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. We could end right there, but then I wouldn't be John. I still see a few minutes. It's like the barber I went to see when my hair was starting to fall out. His sign said $12. I walked into him. I tried to bargain it out with him. I said, look, it's only going to take a minute. And I was starting to make my claim, and he picked right up on it. The barber looked at my head. He said, I still see $12 worth. I said, touche. And inside I said, last time. I'm going to Walmart and I'm getting my own. Elijah said, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull. Listen, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then, hear this, then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. The one that answers by fire. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us, hear us. But there was no voice. This is what the word says. Hear us is what was what they were saying. But there was no voice. The God that answers by fire. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon, the same Elijah that was going to be scared over the voice of one person started mocking all of these people. He mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a God. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. Elijah, that was easy. That came rolling out of him. You know why? Because he knew he wasn't a God. So he started saying everything that his God wasn't. cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is meditating, Elijah knew, my God's not meditating. He is busy, he's not too busy. He's on a journey, he's not on a journey, he's watching me on mine. Or perhaps he is sleeping, he's never asleep. He's always awake. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, translated into swords, until the blood gushed out on them. Now, see, they didn't just cut themselves in particular places where they knew it wouldn't kill them. They started cutting themselves till the blood just gushed out of them. That's what it says. It either says it or it doesn't. That's what it said. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. Oh, sorry, I skipped a verse. The blood gushed out of them, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. In other words, y'all been at it all day, it's God's turn. God's turn. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I'm telling you right now, if the altar of the Lord is broken down in your home, it's all broken down. Somebody needs to repair it. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name, my people called by my name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. That was the 3.86 gallons. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time, they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Can you see it in your mind? And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your God, and that I have done all things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. If you've been talking to God and you've been listening to God, you can talk to God like that. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench, and it turned everybody back to the Lord. And Elijah all of a sudden had all the prophets. He had all the power. And he said, y'all, all the people, he said, told them, don't let any of the prophets go. Surround them. And they took them down into a valley, and he killed them all. That's what it says. But the fact that everything was consumed, God put a word out there that consumed everything. And we know the story that goes on, and that when Elijah got afraid, he went and hid in a cave, and he came to the Lord, and he said, it's enough, God, let me die, right? We talked about that last week, and it said that there was this all these great things, that all these great noises and lightning and thunderings, and the Lord was not in that, and an incredible wind came, and the Lord was not in that. And all these things happened, and the Lord wasn't in that, but he was in a still, small voice. I think God wants us to understand this, is that the Bible describes his voice as the voice of many waters. And I just gave you a story where he said God answered by fire. But he also has a still, small voice. And there's got to be a place in you where you can learn to hear his voice even when he is quiet. Quiet, still, small voice. It didn't mean he wasn't talking. It was just in a quiet voice. Use your inside voices. You're a teacher, Anna. You've told children, use your inside voice. Still, small, quiet voice. Use your inside voice. Quiet. Don't mistake God's quietness for silence. Fire usually puts water out. I'm sorry, water usually puts fire out. Okay, I had to peek at my notes, and I wrote it wrong. Water usually puts the fire out, but this fire that came from God licked the water up and the stones. A word from the Lord is able to consume even the hard places in your life. How many of you have hard places? Places you just feel like you're not going to get through, that they're not going to move, but His Word is able to consume that. Hebrews 12, and I'm going to finish with this, and I'm not kidding, I'm not lying. I am going to finish with this. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for he that did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. When Elijah placed that down there, when he rebuilt that altar, he dug that trench around it, placed the 12 stones, placed the wood, placed the parts of the bull, covered it in water. He already knew that his God was a consuming fire, and everything he laid down there would be consumed. So he just got crazy with it and said, let's lay it all down there, even bring some water. Because water puts fire out, but God's fire licks up the water. Because he's a consuming fire. You remember the story all the way back, the burning bush? And Abraham looked at it, and he realized when he saw that bush burning, he had to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. The Bible described that bush because it was a desert. It wasn't uncommon for fires to take place. Lightning strike. It's so dry that it catch fire. But this is what the Bible said about that bush, is that the bush burned but was not consumed. God wasn't done with it. He was going to speak from it. So Elijah knew that the consuming voice of God was able to consume everything. Whose voice are you listening to? What do you have that you have lost sight that God is able to consume it? To destroy it? The word consume means utterly and wholly. Our God is a consuming fire. He answered Elijah by fire. Isn't that what he said? His voice was fire. And in the description of this, he said, one more time, God is going to answer in such a way that He's going to shake everything that can be shaken, so that that which remains will be that which cannot be shaken. My best example of that is this year in my life, just like I said last week. But I can continually bring back correlations to what has happened in my life. With our daughter going to be with the Lord, our world has been shaken. You can't shake me anymore. And if you do, nothing else is going to fall off, because it's all falling off. I told my wife very early into this journey, and we're coming up on a year. It's very painful right now, because that 1 year and the time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the hope and all the belief and all the 3 months in the hospital holding on, believing this thing's going to turn around. And I said, our world's shaking. Our world is upside down. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken. And I said, this is how we've got to approach this. We've got to understand right now, with everything that's been shaken, that what remains is going to be something that can't be shaken. So we can let bitterness set in, and we'll live in bitterness the rest of our lives. God, I can't believe I would pray to you and you would take my daughter still. That could have been me the rest of my life, stuck in the worst thing that ever happened. And I told you, I've preached this. How many times have I preached that people get stuck in the worst thing that ever happened in their life, and they get stuck in the best thing that ever happened in their life? Don't get stuck. And it's what you settle in on. It's when God speaks in such a way that it shakes everything, so that whatever remains was that couldn't be shaken. So then I could also be stuck in a place of bitterness. But I had to let that be shaken off of me too. And I had to let the questions go, and I had to settle in on, there's some things I don't understand because I'm not God. But if I belong to Him, that's what trust is that He can say it. I don't have to understand it, but I have to stand on it. I've said this about the word understanding, why I believe that Job said it's so important that you get under, I'm sorry, the Proverbs, where it says that you get understanding. Why you get understanding is because understanding is just simply what you stand under. It's real smart, isn't it? It's real true. My understanding, if I have the improper understanding, then I'm standing under something that's improper. But I have the correct understanding, then I can stand solidly. Everything's been shaken in my life. So that which remains, and that's what I told us, we got to be very careful about what we let hang on. Because that's going to be the rest of our life. I said, Christine, however we come out of this is the painting of the rest of our lives. This is what our journey is going to look like. There will come a time in your life when everything will be shaken. He's a consuming fire. Why don't you let Him burn off the things that aren't going to be a blessing to you? Burn it off. Let the rocks, the hard places, be burned off. And I love that the scripture said, yeah, he sent a fire, it burnt the sacrifice. Yeah, He sent a fire, it burnt the wood. I was expecting that. But I wasn't expecting it to burn the rocks, and I wasn't expecting it to lick the water up. But you know what? It said one other thing it burned. It said it burnt all the dust. The
dust is the little stuff. He's even concerned with the little stuff. Have you ever seen the sunlight come through a room and you see all those dust particles around? And I start thinking, I'm breathing that. I have just become a HEPA filter for this whole world. One of Kinsey's doctors, an incredibly smart man, a very close friend of mine, Dr. Tom Maxey, her surgeon, he said this. He said, John, he said, you know, there's some things that we do here, it's just for looks. He said, we have people go into rooms with gowns on and hats on and masks on and gloves on and even them little wraps around their shoes, and we're trying to look like everything. We did the best that we could. He said, but you know what else is going on? That air conditioner, that air that's recirculating in that room has been recirculated through this whole hospital. While we're looking like we got it all covered, we don't have it all covered. But He's able to consume even the dust. Everything. You don't see the dust right now, but I promise you, there's billions of particles of it in this room. It's the little things. Yeah, we got some big things in our life that need to be consumed, but I guarantee you, if you got big things, you got little things too. Can you just say, God, forget about everybody else, but let your consuming fire burn off everything, every big thing, every impossible thing, and all the little things too. Just burn it off. Be the consuming fire. Consuming fire, sweet perfume. Your awesome presence fills this room. This is holy ground. So come and bow down. I invite you to do this. Just bow down in His presence.